So listening, active listening, is really all about just not having any sort of preconceptions, no agenda, just listen.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Atlanta, Georgia, loving the South. It is absolutely incredible here. And the tech scene is awesome. And here with me, I have Jackie. Jackie is a powerful female powerhouse in the Atlanta tech scene. One of my mentors, Garrett, can't say enough good things about her. So I'm excited to have her on the show. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Esprit.
So, okay, give me let's do a formal introduction first. Let's tell everybody who you are.
I am Jackie Chu, and I am the principal of iFusion, as well as a licensee of TEDx Peachtree.
Awesome. And so you guys have an idea. We're right now in the clubhouse of this awesome place called 675. And so you'll hear possibly a little bit of background music, but I just want to prepare you guys if that is the case. So Jackie, when did you first fall in love with technology?
I'd actually always been a little bit of a geek when I was a kid. I was on the engineering track, actually, mechanical engineering to be exact, when I was 12. I still remember the day I told my dad, I said, Dad, I want to be a mechanical engineer. And I was really inspired by a new uncle. My aunt had married a mechanical engineer. Right. I just thought he was the bomb.
Right.
And so as far as I was concerned, I wanted to build things and make things. And I kind of took a little left turn toward liberal arts and liberal studies,
right,
and the performing arts, actually, and got a little enamored with science fiction, actually. So always been kind of a sci-fi nerd.
Wait, you got enamored with science fiction when you were in the performing arts?
Absolutely. So cool. Yeah. So it was special effects, actually, and probably one of my most fondest memories when I was 16, 17 was when the Singapore Arts Festival, which is where I'm originally from, had actually invited some folks from Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
And this was, now I'm going to age myself, this was way back in the 80s when Star Wars and Lucasfilms was still, they still are, but they were just new and just phenomenal, and no one had ever seen anything like that before. So I actually had a chance to chaperone one of the ILM engineers, and that was a really cool ride and a cool conversation that I had with him.
And then how did you go from there to, I mean, really, you're such a leader in the tech space in Atlanta today. It's ridiculously inspiring. So you produced TEDx Atlanta, and I hear that you recently won some outstanding awards. What are these awards?
Oh gosh. You know, one does not set out to win awards.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, when I moved to Atlanta in 1997, it took me a couple of years, but then I really fell in love with it.
Right.
And I got myself into the tech scene in 98. I found myself there actually serendipitously. And then I just decided that, you know, this is the industry that I'm really comfortable in,
because
the people are so amazing. Most importantly, they're so open-minded.
Yeah.
And they're so willing to try new things, which is very much in line with what I do. Now, I would say that it's about making a difference.
Right.
And it's about, for me, it's about evangelizing the fact that Atlanta has tech.
Yeah. I mean, was the tech scene in Atlanta at that time in 97, like, was it vibrant or like, how is it today compared to then?
Oh my goodness. We, back in 97, okay, so you really have to go back for the tech scene here. You really have to go back to the 80s during the PC revolution.
Okay.
Many people don't know this, but if those of you out there, you can ask your parents or older siblings, ask them about the Hayes modem.
Right.
In the days where the modem was actually a piece of hardware that sat outside your computer and computers were in towers,
right,
in big boxes. The Hayes modem was actually here in Atlanta, in a suburb called Norcross.
Right.
And Dennis Hayes, the founder, actually lived in New York for a little while and then moved back here. But he started his company here. There's another company called Quadram, these are little tidbits, that produced a chip that went into the PC that enabled the clock.
Wait, here in Atlanta?
Here in Atlanta. A clock, you know, before Quadram, the clocks in our PCs, when we shut them off, they shut off.
Yeah.
And then you had to restart them again.
No way.
So Quadram is a little piece, this little chip that goes on the motherboard that actually ensures that the clock in our computers stay on. So that was all Atlanta.
Yeah.
Scientific Atlanta, bought by Cisco. They're here. They're still here.
Yeah.
So this was back in the 80s. And then the 90s, we saw this huge resurgence with the dot-com boom, of course.
Right.
We had SecureWorks, now part of Dell. We've had many other successes since then.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's just that I think this town does a lot, but it's a quiet.
Yeah.
I'd say it quietly performs. It performs spectacularly, but it's really quiet about there.
And you have some companies making a huge impact here, like MailChimp. Like everybody knows MailChimp.
Everybody knows MailChimp. Yes.
And there's Calendly, and I was excited to see there's Techstars Atlanta. And
yes,
there's
there is.
General Assembly Atlanta.
Yes.
And so when did you start to feel like you started with sci-fi and the performing arts, and then you pivoted into the tech scene because you got here in 97. But what was it about the tech scene, and then how did you move forward into the tech scene?
Sure. I think what was really formative for me was what I call the desert years of the 2000s.
Yeah.
If you recall, those were desolate years. It was after the dot-com bust. It was after the market crash and after 9/11.
Right.
So there was a period of time in which things were really quite tough and people were very, very pessimistic, or they were not very up on tech. In fact, startups were was such a no-no. I still remember startups even in the late 90s was such a no-no here with the media.
Right, right.
Everything's changed now. So I think that probably in 2010, things changed.
Right.
This was some years after Tech Square in Midtown.
So tell us about Tech Square. I mean, there's so many cool things. There's Atlanta Tech Village. There's Tech Square. There's
So before Atlanta Tech Village and Buckhead, that was Tech Square. And that, I believe Tech Square, now I don't know the exact year. That might have been 2005 in which it was established.
Right.
So it was during those years where things were very, very difficult for everyone everywhere in tech startup.
Right,
land.
Right.
And it was a commercial development that Georgia Tech spearheaded. Once again, I don't have the exact facts, but things kind of started evolving from there. It started building because for the very first time, there was a cluster of buildings where technology companies and startup technology companies could converge.
Right, right.
And this seems to be the case in many other cities too. When you have a concentration of really smart people coming together geographically in a very small area, really good things happen.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened with Tech Square and in the Centergy building.
And so where were you in the midst of all of this?
Yeah. So I started my company, iFusion, back in 2006.
And what does iFusion do?
We are a fractional CMO consultancy. So there, for startups, there was always a gap where they weren't quite old enough to have a full-fledged CMO who focused on scaling the company,
right,
and growth acquisition type tactics. But they still needed someone with senior level experience, but still able to be hands on,
right,
to help with finding product market fit.
Totally.
So to be
which is the most important part of any company.
It is for any startup. It's finding that initial product market fit,
right,
and truly being able to exercise empathy,
right,
and understanding the audience,
right,
that
right,
they've
right.
built this product for.
Right.
So we served as that person, and right. we filled that gap.
And then how did you grow? You've done so much more than just that now today. So can you kind of walk me through your journey of how you got to who you are today?
Sure. Yeah. So I'd love to say that I had this grand game plan and everything was laid out and I had it and I executed flawlessly. Quite honestly, much of what has happened and much of what I have done and will continue to do has been a desire to help.
Yeah.
A desire to make a difference.
Yeah.
A desire to connect the entrepreneur and their vision, his or her vision, to reality.
Yeah.
To customers, to revenue, which of course enables them to execute on their vision. So that has always been very much part of my DNA. I like to solve problems.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always been willingness to take on these puzzles.
Right.
I consider every single client a puzzle.
Right.
What they present to me is like a little puzzle piece.
Right.
And my job is to put the pieces together. And sometimes there are missing pieces. And so we'll make them. We'll make those pieces and we'll fill in the gaps. So that's always been the mantra and the DNA of iFusion and my personal DNA as well. So it's really been more, it's been a willingness to learn, a willingness to be open to challenges and actually embracing and relishing in the challenge.
Right. And one thing, the reason I was so excited to connect with you is because you are, this show is all about celebrating women in tech and being you're a champion of what's possible in Atlanta. At least that's how I see you. And that's exactly an alignment of what the show is. It's about showing, you know, people listening an example of what's possible, what they can achieve, and celebrating us all together. And so do you mentor a different, like what is your mentorship activity?
So I do have young women come up to me and want to work with me. And I am 100% open to that. I enjoy it. I think some of my best mentors were not women, though.
Yeah.
They were men.
Yeah.
So for me, my word to the ladies out there is, if you are looking to grow your career, look for people that you want to be. Look for people you want to be. And really, gender doesn't make a difference when you're looking for that kind of mentorship. However, if you're looking for a coach, a confidant, then yes, find a female leader that you can look up to and that you can work alongside, or who's willing to work alongside you, who can empathize with the challenges that you're going through that only a female would know about.
Totally.
Seek those people out. And I don't so much mentor as I work alongside the female founders whom I work with. And I mean, they're just really so spectacular. I really, women underestimate themselves is my observation.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's that we have to discard the boundaries that the institutions and the social mores place on us. We just have to ignore them. And if we ignore them, amazing things can happen. They do happen. I've seen it happen for the women I've worked with.
And how do you overcome challenges?
Oh, boy. it's a work in progress. It's, first of all, embracing my own imperfection is important. Being okay with who I am and my own shortcomings is important. And so being comfortable in my own skin is important. I believe that if we believe in ourselves, this is a part that I'm still working on constantly. If we believe in ourselves, then anything truly is possible, because when we believe in ourselves, we tend to attract people who believe in us.
100%. 100%. And what would you say, I mean, really you're answering this question, but I always like to ask, what would you say was the main mindset in achieving your dreams? Like, and I feel a part of that answer is believing it's possible. But do you have more that you could elaborate on?
Yeah. Yeah. So dreaming is important. Doing
Amen.
Is just as important.
Amen.
Talking about your dream is just delusional. But being intentional and plotting a course to get there is the key.
Yeah.
I'll add one more point to that. So plotting a course to get to your dream is important. Being okay with changing how you get to your dream is actually more important.
Interesting. Really being open-minded that you can't psychically know what the exact journey is, but just buckle in.
Yeah. It's not always about the how.
Yeah.
It is about the how, it's about the details, but you can't be so married with the how that you lose sight of the why.
Totally. Amen.
So that's what I'm really saying. You know, like for me, I would like to see Atlanta be even bigger on the map.
Right.
For me, and that's why I have TEDx Peachtree. That's why I organize TEDx Peachtree, and that's why there's this merry band of volunteers who do it with me. We believe in the amazing people and ideas that are happening and percolating here in Atlanta and the city, and in the metro area. And we want others. We want to amplify that. So it is that belief. So I believe that, you know, women are half the sky, right? I mean, it's half the sky.
Totally.
We're half the population. We have potential. That potential is untapped. It's beginning to awaken. It's basically stirring. And I truly believe that when women are in a position to finance projects by other women, that's when we're going to be cooking.
Yeah.
We're going to be seriously cooking.
Yeah. When we're all able to essentially unite together to have one another's back. Yeah.
Yes. I think that's a little utopian. I'm going to challenge that. It's a little utopian because people are going to be people.
I'm a Pisces. That explains that. I'm the dreamer Pisces. Like, yes.
Well,
super accurate assessment.
I'm an Aquarius, so I'm a little eccentric.
I love it.
I would say that People will always be people. You'll always have human foibles. There will always be jealousy. However, when we have enough mass of women, and it's happening, it's actually happening here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I'm involved with a group of women who are putting together an educational forum. For inviting women and teaching them how to angel invest.
Amazing.
And so in a friendly, cordial, safe environment. So it's not community just for community, but it's community for profit.
And are you able to share what the organization is, or is it
so
something
it's
private?
So the beautiful part is we're not going to create an organization around it. We're going to it's just a band of women from different organizations.
Yeah.
Some of whom are very experienced angel investors, and others are just supporters of female-led businesses and female-led high-tech startups. And we are we're banding together informally to come up to stage these different classes, these different informal workshops to educate other women.
How can people connect with you if they want to find out more?
Sure. They can reach me on Twitter. So at Jackie Chu, JACQUICHEW. Or they can go to TEDxPeachTree.com, and my bio and my LinkedIn links and all that are in the About section.
Awesome. Tell me more about your work with TEDx Peachtree.
TEDx Peachtree is the largest TEDx group here in the state of Georgia. We are tremendously excited because this is our 9th year.
And who are some, and you do it every year?
It's an annual conference, and we also have more conversational discussion format salons throughout the year.
And what are some of the speakers that have been? What types of speakers are they?
Oh gosh, we have had Thad Starner, the inventor of Google Glass. We've had Heaven Beatbox, who was a champion in the beatbox World Beatbox Championships.
So cool.
Who knew about that? We've had one of the dancers, tap dancers of Tap Dogs, and they tour all over the world. And we've also had several from NASA. We've had, we've had Shannon Zirbel, who's probably... she's amazing. She has this really interesting idea of using origami and the concepts of origami to create a sail, a solar sail, to power spaceships, to power interplanetary travel.
I love it. And I know that, you know, these conferences, TEDx or be it another conference or festival, it's not only about the speakers, it's also about the community there. So can you give me one reason why people should actually jump on a plane and fly to Atlanta to attend TEDx Peachtree?
The audience that comes every year span the gamut, from CEOs to venture capitalists to educators to refugee caseworkers. So it's an incredibly diverse audience. You never know who you're going to meet. Along with the speakers, it's an incredible audience of thinkers and doers. So if you have an idea or you have a project and you just want a different perspective, you want to spend a day at the brain spa, which is what right. some people call our conference. If you want to spend a day with people who think differently, who think openly, and sort of have your daily challenges right. be looked at from a different lens,
right.
then TEDx Peachtree is definitely the place to be.
I've never heard that, the brain spa. That's amazing.
Yes. We've had companies bring entire departments and teams for a day of just having their curiosity aroused.
Right, right.
Listening to the talk, spurring conversation, such that they can get to know their colleagues and each other better in a completely different context.
I love it. How many people would you say attend TEDx every year?
We cap our audience number at 500. We will be lifting that to 600 to 700 this year to allow for the demand. Because in previous years, we've always had a wait list and some very unhappy people.
Is there a cost to go?
There is. So the ticket prices start at $96 a person, and they go all the way up to right now to $98. So it's not cost prohibitive. And that's for the entire day, with lunch and snacks and a post-conference mixer.
That's awesome. I mean, that's an amazing value. And where can people go to again to find out more information?
They can go to TEDxPeachtree.com. T-E-D-X, Peachtree, all spelled out, .com.
Awesome. And one last question. I truly believe that we can be a mentor in our day-to-day living just by who we are. I always talk about my girlfriend, Ali Spagnola, who rides her bike all over Los Angeles.
Yes.
And so I think of her, I'm like, you know, she's riding her bike around. I can ride my bike instead of driving my car. What's one thing that you think we can do on a day-to-day to be a mentor in our daily living?
That's really simple. Listen. One word, listen. Do you ever find yourself, when you're talking to someone, you're formulating the question, you're kind of listening, but you're really formulating the next question, or you're formulating what you're going to say in response to what the person is saying?
Of course, yeah.
So listening, active listening, is really all about just not having any sort of preconceptions, no agenda, just listen to the person and what they're truly saying to you. Because I have had experiences where when I truly let myself listen to someone,
yeah.
I hear things that the stuff between the lines that they're really feeling and that they're really thinking, but they don't dare articulate. And I find that when I just be quiet and I listen, eventually they actually will begin telling me what they're really thinking. And that's when things get real.
I think I need to do that more just in my personal life. just in my normal, especially like if I'm listening to the guy I'm dating, what's he saying in between the lines? I need to do less talking and more just like, what are you trying to tell me right now?
and if you're dating an introvert, there might not be very much of a conversation.
Yikes. Okay, so the last bit of piece that I want to share is I met this female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina, and she has this bracelet company called ShareYourCompass.com. It's not sponsored or anything like that. I just thought it was an amazing way to unite women in tech around the world. So these are trackable, shareable bracelets. This one is 1861. And so the way this works is you register how you receive this bracelet on ShareYourCompass.com, and I'm going to give you instructions. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who you think is just awesome. And then that person gives it to another woman in tech within 2 weeks. And then everyone listening can track 1861 to see how it started. Now, what I think is really cool is she's building the feature where you'll be able to communicate with everyone who's had the bracelet. And I feel that since it started with you, it's going to be a lot of people who are similar personalities or characteristics to you. And it's just a great way to meet meaningful people, I think. Who knows? But anyway, so this is my gift, or Share Your Company's gift to you.
Thank you.
And so just go to the website and we could talk about it after too. And then you just, it's a short little thing where you just register. I received it this way. And then do you know, have in mind right now who you'd give it to?
Yes.
Who, can we talk about them? Who would it be?
Sure. I'm actually meeting with, I won't give it to her. So you said 2 weeks.
You could do it within 2 weeks.
Oh, within 2 weeks.
Like
okay.
When I got mine, I gave it away within an hour.
Okay.
Like I was
okay.
Really excited. Yeah.
So I'm actually going to give this away to Jasmine Crow. She is the founder of Gooder App. And her vision is to eradicate hunger and food insecurity.
Amazing.
By saving wasted food.
Say it again. Good. How do you say it?
Gooder. So Goodr.
Yeah.
app.com.
Cool.
The app is live right now.
Amazing.
So she's actually one of the companies that I'm working with.
Cool.
At ATDC.
Awesome.
It's two females. Her CTO is female as well. It's
awesome.
Really exciting.
So maybe she'll end up giving it to her CTO.
She might. Or she might, you know, end up giving it. I mean, who knows where this little thing.
It's pretty cool though, right?
You know, it's kind of a guy. So this little guy is going to go.
Totally. And you know what's fun? Interesting. I like that it's cork from Portugal, and it like looks like leather. And so I interviewed a bunch of women in tech in Portugal. And so I knew right away, I'm like, oh, it's the cork from Portugal. It's so cool. And I like that it's gender neutral.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So did, okay. This is a weird TEDx question. Is this a recycled cork? Because cork's really expensive. There's a cork shortage.
You know,
right
I have
now.
No idea.
Did you know that cork only comes from Portugal?
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, that's why Napa and other places, they're coming out with the plastic and the screw top.
Yeah.
It's because there's a shortage of cork.
You have to ask her.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
She would be open. She makes these by hand, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. So this is made by hand, like the morning. I got them the day I left Wilmington. And it's just super great. So she'd be open to all conversations.
Yeah. I'd love to meet her.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to definitely give her a call.
Yeah.
How cool. Thank you.
Yeah, of
this
course.
This is fantastic.
So I view it. Thank you. I view it as a way. I'm really big into celebrating women in tech in the most empowering way and really focusing on unity and connectivity and kind of I've never felt held back. I felt the only person who's held me back is myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this is a very harmonious way to unite people that's just about love. I know. Again, with the Piscesness, but utopia. But
I just watched Wonder Woman the movie this weekend. So this what you're saying connects.
So yeah. So that's why I really when I met her via an interview. I was like, what do you think about this? And she loves the idea. So I'm really excited about it. Well, cool. Thank you so much, Jackie, for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank this you has for been amazing. Me.
And being a champion of the Atlanta tech scene is absolutely extraordinary. We all need, I know the kind of heart, emotion, and time it takes to really build up a tech community. And so thank you for investing that time into Atlanta.
I am very, very blessed to be here. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you guys, talk to you guys, and all the things in the next episode. We just built, I was telling Jackie, actually on 4th of July, we built Women in, it's community.womenintech.fm, where we can put everybody's profile for women in tech around the world. So definitely be sure to check that out. And then if you want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, we have the Facebook group, womenintechvip.com, takes you straight there so you don't have to search through all the Facebook groups. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Betalist, one of my favorite companies to gain exposure to your startup before you're even live. Go to betalist.com/womenintech and get featured. Yes, get your startup featured while still in beta and make sure people know that you're about to go live. So when you open the floodgates for business, you'll be ready with pre-existing customers and signups. That's betalist.com/womenintech.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.